Last week. Got something going on in my mind. I got a little medicine in me too, so might be the spirit, it might be the medicine today. You never know. But last week we started talking about what it means to know the voice of God and to hear the voice of God. After all, there are a lot of voices that are speaking to us in our lives. There's demonic voices in the world, we believe, but there's also a lot of voices in our own heads. There's the voice of our heart. There's the voice of our flesh. There's the voice voices in our mind. And so, again, you know, we struggle with our own voices, let alone the voices from the outside. We meet a person and say, oh, she's hot. And then that's maybe our flesh saying that, but then your mind says, yeah, but she's a hot mess, and you never make enough money for that one. Or you meet a guy and it's like, oh boy, he's so sweet, he's so kind, look how he treats his mother. And then, but your head says, yeah, but he doesn't just love his mama, he's a mama's boy. And you'll be babying that one your whole life if you marry him. And so you got all these voices going on in your head about decisions that you have to make. And the question is how do you discern the voice of God in all of this? And so we finished last week by talking about the fact that the best way to discern the voice of God, and the primary way, is through the Word of God, the Bible. And so we looked at this verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, or to tell you what you've done wrong, for correction, or in other words, to tell you what you need to do right, and for instruction in righteousness, or the path you need to take. So all Scripture is given for our instruction. All Scripture is given to give us direction and to let us know the will of God. Now, you have to know the Bible, and the Bible says it needs to be rightly divided. And you need to understand how to read your Bible, and you need to understand everything that's in it and not just find a single text. Remember the guy I've told you about who had marriage problems, and he goes to the counselor with his wife, and he's pretty resistant, but the counselor decides that the primary issue in this marriage is that he's very cold and insensitive to her needs. But he's not getting that, and so the marriage counselor just walks over and just lays the biggest, wettest kiss on his wife right in front of him. He says, now listen, that's what she needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what your wife needs. And he says, I got it. I understand completely. I'll have her back down here in the morning. And but he doesn't get it. And so you got to get what the Bible is saying. And if you do that, you're well on your way to understanding the will of God for your life. Now, having said that, however, there are things that may not be, in your situation, clearly defined in Scripture. I think there's a principle for everything, but there are situational things that we run into in life that we have trouble finding an exact Scripture, or I should maybe say we find two Scriptures. So, for instance, we're in a situation and we know that the Bible says we ought to wait on the Lord, but then there are other Scriptures that say you need to go forward. Remember when Moses is at the Red Sea and, you know, he's standing there looking like Charlton Heston in my mind, and the army's behind them, and he says to the people, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord says, no, go through the ocean. And you and I find ourselves in places where it's like, the Bible says wait on the Lord. It also says to go. And I don't know which verse applies to my particular situation. And so the Bible says that then we not only have the Word, but the Lord has given us also His Spirit to lead and guide us. Look at these verses. This is Jesus the night before he's crucified, or the night of his crucifixion. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. So he's the Spirit that brings you into truth. He's the Spirit that always speaks the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Here's another verse for you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That's the tail end of that passage. Now, let's go to the next verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put the deeds to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. So he says, if you walk according to your flesh, you're going to die. Flesh is your animalistic nature. You're going to die. But if you live according to the Spirit, or walk and follow the Spirit, you'll live. Romans 8 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So not only do we have the Word of God, but we also have the Spirit of God to lead us, to direct us. Now, having said that, there are many spirits in the world. And John will say in 1 John chapter 4, these words, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be from God. And again, I've lived my whole life in the church, not always for the Lord, but I've lived my life. In fact, I attended church before my mom and dad knew I existed, about 9 months before I attended church. And I was doing the math, and conservatively, I've been in about 8,000 church services in my life. And I wasn't always conscious of each one. I was young in many of those. I've seen about everything attributed to the Holy Spirit that you could see attributed. I've seen people leave their spouses and run off with somebody else and say the Spirit led them. I've seen people sleeping together and say that the Holy Spirit told us it was okay for us to sleep together, but we're not married. I've seen people stand up and say the dumbest things in the world and say the Holy Spirit led me to say that. I've seen people split churches and say the Holy Spirit led me do that. It's true that we have the Holy Spirit, but the question is, how do we know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us? And that's what I want to teach on today. You have the Word, but you also have the Spirit. I want to give you two characteristics that need to be true of you for you to have any confidence that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And then I think two characteristics of the way the Holy Spirit speaks. First of all, to discern the Holy Spirit, to assume the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, first of all, you need to be a genuine Christian. Now, that's a simple thing to say. But there's a lot of people, again, who are saying, I'm led by the Spirit. I believe God wants me to do this. They're not even a Christian. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't know how that could be said any clearer. That's a complicated verse to a lot of people. I don't understand how that could be any more simple. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. He says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. You do not belong to God if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit, you could assume that some of the things that you're hearing are coming from the Holy Spirit because you have the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you could not assume that anything you're hearing is coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, it's possible the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And many of us get to a place where we come to Christ and then we look back over our life and we see that God was at work. We didn't realize God was at work, but we can see God at work. But at the time, you didn't know God was at work. At the time, you had no confidence that God was at work. Pardon me. I told you I had something going on. My wife gave it to me. Actually, all the kids got it and gave it to my wife, and then she gave it to me. And it's always worse when the husband gets it. It's 10 times worse when a husband gets it. But you'd have no confidence that it came from the Holy Spirit if you weren't a believer. I drove a Corolla for 13 years. Let me cough one more time. Ralph's out of town. He might have been preaching this morning. I drove a Corolla for 13 years. It didn't have power windows. It did not have GPS. I saved up enough money to buy another car. Now, the reason I drove it for 13 years is because I wanted to pay cash for my next car. And I would get enough money to pay cash, then my wife would come up and tell me she got herself pregnant. And we'll buy a baby. So I finally get this car. It's a Lexus. It's 4 years old. It's a Lexus. Paid cash for it. And I'm driving it home. It's got no GPS in it. How can a Lexus not have GPS? I find out you have to pay for the GPS, like $10 a month or something. I got a cell phone, so I got to prop the cell phone up. But if you don't have GPS, I mean, how can you be confident? Some of us, you're not a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have GPS in your life. That's the point. You're not a believer, you don't have GPS. And so whatever you're hearing, I would not assume that that's coming from the Holy Spirit, because you don't have a navigation system. First issue is, are you a true believer? Are you a true believer? Secondly, are you walking in habitual obedience or habitual disobedience? Are you a believer? And are you walking in the light that you have? Look at these verses. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's a couple others that says the same thing. If I'm walking in habitual disobedience, the Bible says that the Lord isn't answering my prayers. That's what it says. James chapter 1 talks about the double-minded man. And if you're double-minded, he says, don't assume for a second that you'll receive anything from God. You're double-minded. You want God, but you want the world. And he says, so when you pray for wisdom, don't assume you're going to get any because you're double-minded. See, if you're not walking in the truth you already have, the assumption is that God's not going to give you any more truth. If you're not walking in this, why would he give you more? I was listening to a preacher that I like to listen to because he always gets into more trouble than I could possibly get into. And he was ranting to his people. He said, listen, if you've been in this church for 10, 15, 20 years and you got marriage problems, don't come to me for counseling. I don't have time for you. He said, because if you got a bad marriage and you've been listening to me preach for 10, 15, 20 years, I preach a lot about marriage. If you got a bad marriage, it means you don't listen to me when I talk. And so if you don't listen here, why would I assume giving you 2 private hours in my office doesn't accomplish anything in your life? And it's great to see him get into trouble like that. But that's God. I think that's biblical. If you're not walking in the light you have, and you're asking Jesus or the Spirit to direct me, why would he direct you? You're not walking the light you got. I mean, be like calling Dave Ramsey and saying, hey, I got $5,000 here. A lot of you listen to Dave Ramsey. Where should I invest it? And he says, how much you got in credit card debt? And you said about $20,000. He's going to go off on you. Because everything Ramsey says is don't go into debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. If you're in debt, he's not going to give you advice on where to invest money. Get out of debt first. Walk in what I've already told you to walk in. That's what he'll say. And again, you should not assume that God is going to give you more when you're not walking in what he's already given to you. I mean, you're sitting around saying, Lord, should I marry this girl or not? And you're sleeping with her and you're not married. Why would he tell you whether or not you should be married to this person when you're not obeying the word about sex, no sex before you get married to begin with? Why would he do something like that? There are guys praying. I know guys. And they'll come up and say, I feel like the Lord's calling me in the ministry. And I want you to pray that the Lord will lead me. They're not even faithful in church, man. Why would God be calling you into ministry and you're not even faithful to the word of God about attending? You want to lead a church and you can't be faithful to a church. I mean, I would not assume that God's going to give you more until you walk in what you have. There's a place in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus is teaching. I feel like Dean Martin today. When the moon hits your eye like a big... there's a place where Jesus is teaching. And this guy interrupts him. He says, Lord, help me speak to my brother. Tell us how to divide the inheritance. And Jesus said, who made me an arbitrator over your inheritance? But then he gives them a word. He says, beware of covetousness. Here's a man who wants God to tell him how to make a financial decision, but the man is greedy. And Jesus essentially says, I'm not going to help you with your finances until you deal with your greed. Fix the greed in your heart and then maybe come back and I'll talk to you about how to divide up money and inheritance. Jesus seems unwilling to give you more light when you're not walking in the light you already have. Start with what you know. Now listen, it doesn't mean that we walk perfectly. I don't walk perfectly, but I walk connected to Jesus in the direction of Jesus. I mean, listen, when you have a little kid, 2, 3 years old, and they're walking with you and they're holding your hand, they don't walk perfectly. Every step they take isn't a perfect step. They might step sideways, they might go this way, that way. But they're holding your hand and they're walking in the direction you're walking in. I hope that's me. Every step I take isn't perfect, but I want to be connected to Jesus and I want to be moving in the same direction he's moving in. Now that's different than you running away from Jesus and playing in the road. That's where some of you are at, man. You're saying, well, I'm not perfect. No, no, you're far from perfect. You're rebellious and you're about to get ran over by life. You're far from God. You're not connected to him. You're not walking with him. It's not just that you're imperfect in your walking. You are rebellious in your walking and in your living. And you ought not assume that you're going to receive any more direction from God till you walk in the direction he's already given to you. That's the first two characteristics. Are you a believer? And are you habitually obedient? Are you walking in the light that you got? Now, if you have that, there's two characteristics that are important when you are thinking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. The first we've already dealt with, but I'm going to throw it out, and that is the Holy Spirit will never contradict the written word of God. It's the first point. Throw up this verse here in John. I believe it's 16:8. Says when the Holy Spirit comes. No, it was the other one. One before that. Let me tell you what it says. It says when the Holy Spirit comes, this is Jesus talking, that he will remind you of all the things I said to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict Jesus. Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Word. Again, the Word is Spirit-breathed. It's God-breathed. The word in and of itself is already the speaking of the Holy Spirit, inspiring people to write So he's not going to contradict himself. And so that's very important, because again, there are people who are feeling led by the Spirit to do things that the Bible would speak the opposite. There are people being led by the Spirit to go home and sit and not be associated with the church, when the Bible itself says that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I know there's a COVID thing, but some of you have had 3 shots and a booster and you're still home. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some is. And you say, well, I can't be in a public worship setting. Well, how do you give back? How are you connected to the body? How are you using your spiritual gifting for the edification of the church? It's just not about worship. It's about being connected. It's about using your gifting. It's about supporting. It's about being close enough so when one hurts, we all hurt, and when one rejoices, we all rejoice. How are you doing that? How are you doing that? And again, there are people, again, who are feeling led to do things that are in contradiction to the scriptures themselves. And listen, in regards to the church, God only has one plan to redeem the world. It's the church. There isn't a plan B. There isn't a plan B. And it's no coincidence, even in Europe and in America, when the influence of the church declines, socialism takes over. There is no plan B. If you care about what's going on in the nation, you ought to care about what's going on in the church. And so that's the third point. First of all, are you a Christian? Are you habitually walking in the truth you have? Then third, is the voice you're hearing in contradiction to the Word of God? Now, if you are a believer, if you're walking in habitual obedience, if what you are hearing is not in contradiction to the Word, then fourth, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He speaks with the power of conviction. And that's John 16:8 here. And when He comes, this Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When the Holy Spirit speaks, He speaks with the power of conviction. In other words, when the Holy Spirit speaks, it may not be a moral sin, but it will feel like sin to you if you don't do it. I was with a friend and we were golfing a few weeks ago. We were in Ohio, and there was 4 or 5 people standing there at the second green. Not that that matters. Maybe to a golfer that would matter. And they were putting up a plaque for this woman. And so we drove by. This woman had died, but they're putting up a plaque for her. And the guy I'm with knows a couple of the people, and they're putting up this plaque, and these are her friends, this woman who have passed. And they talked, and it was a pleasant talk. And we went on, and we were headed to the third tee. And it's like he grabbed his head, and he said, doggone it, I should have witnessed to them. Man, I missed the chance. And he was beating himself up. There's no law in the book that says you have to witness to everybody that you come into contact with, but for him, it felt like a sin. There was conviction behind it. It's like, I couldn't feel any worse than if I had, you know, done something that was very black and white in the Bible. The Spirit speaks to you with the power of conviction. He does. Now, you have to be sensitive to Him. I've told you, a few weeks ago I preached on tithing. And man, I didn't want to preach on tithing. I worked for 3 days to get out of that. It was all that was on my mind. But it was like, this is the dumbest time in the world to preach on tithing. Don't preach on tithing in October. You preach on tithing in January or near the time people get their tax returns. You know, remind them they got to catch up. But you don't preach about tithing in October. And it was just, that's always a heavy sermon, and I wanted to preach a light sermon, Finally got to the point, like on Friday, when I'm trying to study my way out of it, trying to find something, but nothing. It's almost as though God was saying, listen, if you don't want to preach the sermons I give you, I'll quit giving you sermons. And in my spirit, it felt like, there's nothing in the book that says you got to preach on tithing in October. But if I hadn't done that, it would have been disobedience to me. There was conviction behind the impression. There was conviction there. There have been times when the Lord has spoken to me and said, go to that person and take their advice. It's like, I got to speak to that person. And whatever they tell me to do, I need to do. If I don't do it, and a lot of times you resist that, and you sit at home, and it's like, I couldn't feel any more guilty today than if I cheated on my wife. But it's not a moral thing to speak or not speak to this person, but I'm under a heavy conviction. I need to go speak to that person, and I need to take their advice. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. I know Thomas has shared his testimony here multiple times, or in CR multiple times, about how he was asked to lead in Celebrate Recovery when CR was getting started. And I don't know, you can tell it better than I can, but I take it from that, as you're telling that you had conviction on that issue. That you weren't going to do it, and then maybe you were, and that you were very busy, and you got Kmart working 60 hours a week, and you're leading here. Like, I can't. But it's like, you almost felt like, if I don't do it, I'll be in disobedience to the Lord. And there's nothing in the book that says you have to lead singing at CR on Tuesday night. That's not in the book. But he was under tremendous conviction. And that, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit packs the power of conviction. And you say, you know what? It's not. I don't know that it's in the book, but if I don't do it, it feels like a sin to me. If I don't do it, it feels like a sin to me. There have been times when people kneel at an altar, and nothing in the book says I have to pray with people on an altar. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do that. But there are times when you stand there, it's like, if I don't go pray with that person, I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to be under condemnation all afternoon for that. There's a leading to do that. The Spirit, again, speaks with the power of conviction in your life. Now, again, everybody's not sensitive to that, and a lot of people blow that off. But if you are a committed believer, there are a lot of things in your life where the Spirit will direct you, particularly as it relates to the work of the kingdom. Now, I'm not sure that God cares about every single aspect of your life. I mean, I knew a girl who would pray about where to get her hair cut. I've never prayed. I don't know that God cares whether I go to Peggy's or Quickie Cuts. I know my wife might care, but I don't know that God cares. I think people, should I buy this house or the house next to it? I don't know. I don't know that God is going to lead you into, say, oh, it's got to be that house and it's got to be those colors. And I don't know that God cares about what color your house looks. I don't know that God cares whether I bought a Lexus or drove the Corolla another, 10 years. I don't know. But when he does care, his Spirit will speak to you with the power of conviction. And you may say, you know what, I don't know that it's a written sin, but if I don't do it, it's a sin to me. Sin to me. Some of you maybe who will be listening, it's amazing now with technology. People can be watching these things. Well, not me preach, but they could possibly watch this 50 years from now, So you don't know who will be listening to you, You might be preaching after the collapse of America. I don't know. But there may be somebody listening to me, and you're in a marriage. There's adultery. You have grounds to leave. You have biblical grounds to leave. Bible says there's adultery, you can divorce. There's some other grounds too, but let's just stick with adultery here. You really don't want to stay? Your heart's not in it. Your mind doesn't say stay, you know, it's just nothing in you that you can discern. There's not a voice inside of you saying stay. But there's this other voice that's saying stay. And it speaks with the power of conviction. To the degree that you know in your spirit, if I were to walk out of this relationship, even though I have biblical grounds for, but if I were to walk out of this, I'd live under condemnation. And it's not because, you know, I've got personality issues where I live under condemnation. It's not that I'm, hey, it'd be easy for him to put a guilt trip on me, and it's not coming from him. It's not coming from me. I'm a strong person. I know the Bible, but I got to stay. I got to stay. And God may be speaking to you like he did Hagar. Remember when Hagar is driven out into the wilderness? And God comes to Hagar because she's the second wife of Abraham. And she has every reason to leave. She has every right to leave. And God comes to her and says, I see you. I understand, and you go back, and I will bless you there. I know you don't want to go back, but I will bless you there. Bless you there. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It may not even feel like a sin to you. I mean, again, the Bible doesn't say you have to speak to everybody about Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that, you know, you have to, you know, stay in that relationship. The Bible doesn't go that far, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will go that far in your life. And in my life, and maybe someone else could speak and they would say it different. In my life, the Spirit speaks with the power of conviction. I just know it. If I don't do this, I'll be disobeying the Lord. I'll have condemnation on me. Condemnation on me. You know, some of you, and I've been where you're at. I've sat in church services, even as a pastor. And again, there's nothing that says you have to go to an altar every service. Nothing in the Bible says you particularly have to go to an altar. But I've been in services where the power of the conviction was so strong, I believe that if I didn't go and turn that thing that I was dealing with over the Lord in this moment, I was being disobedient to the Lord, and when I walked out, I would be under conviction for being disobedient. The Holy Spirit, again, I keep saying this, speaks with the power of conviction. Again, there are people that claim that the Holy Spirit spoke to them and did this and this and this. And could have been their flesh, could have been their heart, could have been their mind. I mean, they aren't testing the Spirit. It could have been another spirit other than the Lord. But in my experience, again, and in the experience of many others that I've talked to, when the Holy Spirit speaks, it may not be sin to everybody, but if you don't do it, it'll feel like sin to you. Feel like sin to you. And again, we need the Holy Spirit. We have the Word, but we need the Spirit. And by the way, the Spirit will oftentimes, as He's speaking, will draw you back to the Word. It will draw you back to the Word. You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. We're going to miss out on what God has for us if we aren't walking according to the Spirit, Spirit of God. Stand with me. Thank you for listening to me. I know it probably hadn't been easy today. Been easy to talk, but it hadn't been easy to hear either, I'm sure.